Good morning. Well, I realized I'm having kind of a hard time. I'm sitting right here, and every time I open my eyes, I see our beautiful new altar. And I get a little carried away. I'm so admiring it. So I'll try to get over it. I'm trying to get over this beautiful new altar. It's a little hard. Now Larry has left. I don't know why. But now he's come back. Say again.
Small table.
I was admiring how much the side table matched the altar, and she told me where you got it.
It's sort of an accident, happy accident. So I think you know that much of Zen teaching is, or a substantial part of Zen teaching is presented in the form of dialogues between teachers and students, and dialogues between, peer-to-peer dialogues, Dharma siblings having dialogues. Oh, and now Dora Lee disappeared. Okay. Well, I hope she's all right. You can also think of these dialogues to a certain extent as dialogues between, the awakened ones and sentient beings, between, Buddhas and sentient beings. But here I have such a dialogue, a story that I'd like to bring up this morning. This is a dialogue between Zen Master Shaoshan and Elder Day. This is a well-known story. Some of you may have heard it before, but it's always worth looking at again, I think. Shaoshan asked Elder Day, "The Buddha's true reality body is like space. It manifests in response to beings like the moon and water. How do you explain the principle of response?" Day said, "It's like a donkey looking into a well." Shaoshan said, "You said a lot indeed, but you only said 80%. Day said, "What about you, teacher?" Shaoshan said, "Like a well looking at a donkey." Like a well looking at the donkey. So the teacher here is Shaoshan, and he was the principal disciple of Dongshan, who is the author of the Jewel Mirror Samadhi, which we recite here in our practice from time to time. And Shaoshan was he was kind of like Kazon, who we've also been studying. In that he was someone who took teaching he heard from his teacher and really made it popular, really spread it a lot, and popularized it. And the school of Shaoshan and Dongshan became known as Shaodong, or translated into Japanese, Soto. Our practice here is in that lineage, Soto, Shaodong, Zen. from half from this teacher. In the story, he said that the Buddha's true reality body is like space. The true reality body is a Dharmakaya Buddha, and we chant his name. We chant the name of Dharmakaya Buddha in our meal chant. We say, Vairochana Buddha, pure Dharmakaya. And then we say Sambhogakaya Buddha, Lochana Buddha, complete Sambhogakaya. Anyway, and then we say Shakyamuni Buddha, complete Nirmanakaya, or manifest Nirmanakaya. And so these are the three bodies of Buddha. You know, we chant that in our meal chant. These are known as the three kayas, or bodies of Buddha. So the Dharmakaya Buddha is, you know, Buddha means the one who is awake, right? The one who is awake. And Dharmakaya Buddha is the idea that the principle of awakeness or alive is alive in this world. The principle of awakeness or awareness is alive in this world. It's a principle beyond any particular awareness or awakeness. That kind of is, you know, some people say cosmic Buddha, you know. And when Karen and I were in Japan, we saw many statues of Vairochana Buddha. And it's particularly revered in the Shingon tradition. So the case says that this principle manifests, it takes form in response to beings like the moon and water. I would say that when we sit here upright in samadhi, observing the phenomenal world of birth and death, we are a part of that manifestation of awareness. We are in a sense, a kind of emanation of that awareness. And you could say that maybe we don't feel like we are, you know, an emanation of that awareness, but we might be able to agree that that our zazen practice is a call or a request, you know, to Dharmakaya Buddha, to awareness, to the principle awareness, you know. Oh, Dharmakaya Buddha, will you please come? We could think, you know, that our sitting is something like that, you know. A kind of big open request, looking for any, you know, particular thing to happen or some particular experience to happen, but just in the openness of our sitting, we can just consider that the openness of our sitting is this big open request to Dharmakaya Buddha. So Saoshan asked Elder Day, how do you explain the principle of response? And Elder Day said, it's like a donkey looking into a well. Linda shakes her head, like, what? What? That's good. What is it? What is it? That's perfect response. What is it? What is a donkey looking into the well? So one of the first books I read about Zen was by Alan Watts. Or I should say I tried to read this book. It's called The Way of Zen. And I had this book for many years. And I think I had this book. And I also had Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, which I found more approachable, although very steep. But I couldn't make heads or tails of Alan Watts' Way of Zen. And one of the things he talked about was in there was the void. He talked about the word in Sanskrit for emptiness is shunyata. Shunya means empty, and ta puts the ness on it. Emptiness, shunyata. And so Alan Watts, his translation of that word was the void. And but I was thinking about it would be fun to go back and read The Way of Zen. It'd be fun to go back and read it now. I would probably say, okay, I see what you're saying, you know. But I couldn't make it when I was, 26 years old or something, and had no teacher or anybody I knew who practiced Zen. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. But I was thinking in relation to this case. Well, okay, that's pretty good. What is a well? If a being goes to the edge of a well and looks in, it's kind of a void, right? And it's kind of utter darkness, and you can't really tell what's going on in there. Your eye faculty can't penetrate that void, that utter lack of any object. So that's pretty good. That's kind of a good description of what we're doing when we're sitting. We're sitting not trying to see any particular object. In fact, it would be wonderful if no objects appeared. We would be overjoyed in our zazen if no objects appeared. Oftentimes, objects do appear, and then our practice is letting go of them over and over again. The other, virtue that a donkey has is that a donkey sitting at the edge of a well, we presume, doesn't expect to see anything. He hasn't set up any expectation of what's down there. He's just looking in there, right? So, whereas, when we're sitting, we've heard all these stories about meditation and the fact that this is this meditation is the Dharma gate of ease and joy, or this meditation is a place where we could be quiet and calm and at ease. And so when we hear things like that, we might set up some expectation. We might have some expectation that when we're looking inside, that we're supposed to see something in particular. We're supposed to have some particular experience. But here's a being that maybe isn't expecting anything. And maybe that's a teaching for us, to just sit without that expectation, without without looking for anything in particular. I wrote it. It's almost impossible to do this, but this is the way we try to practice. You know, it's almost impossible not to set up some expectation and to have ideas come up continually that, you know, we're not doing it right, or we're missing the mark, or those kind of things. You know, comparing ourselves to some ideal that we set up in our minds about what meditation should be, and then we compare ourselves to that ideal that we set up. So, this is why it's very difficult to do this practice. This is why it's a difficult practice to let go of all these kind of ideas and let yourself be there on the edge of the well, just looking in. And whatever's happening right there at the edge of the well, in the utter darkness, is completely okay. Completely all right. Completely just as it should be. How can we reach that place? Why are we so hard on ourselves? You know, Sao Shan, in the case he approves of elder days, very surprising and original answer, like a donkey looking into a well. But he says, you've said quite a lot there, but you haven't said quite everything. You've only said 80%. Master Day says, or Elder Day says, well, what about you, teacher? And Sao Shan says, it's like the well, looking back at the donkey. So, as you know, the modern translation of shunyata is emptiness. And Westerners, I think, like Alan Watts, they were kind of struggling with this word. They were struggling with this idea at first, and it sounded to many like a rather nihilistic and lifeless kind of concept, and people and people related to it like the existentialists, like they didn't there's no point, there's no meaning, it's all meaningless, that kind of thing. And people looked at that word and they kind of had that reaction to it. And I think my feeling is actually, when the Chinese saw that word, when Buddhism went to China, I think they had a little bit of a problem with it too. I mean, that's purely speculation on my part. But otherwise, why did they like to come up with other words to translate it? And so the Chinese like to come up with, and they use the words like source, like the source, or they translate it as like the Tao. They brought it in and made it more familiar to them, and more, I think they made it, they tried to make it a little more juicy, you know, a little bit more lively than the void, than this idea of nothingness. But who read that book by Jean-Paul Sartre, Being in Nothingness? Yeah. Okay, good. I didn't, but maybe I should, and see what he's got to say about it. But anyway, this is actually not what the Buddhists mean, by emptiness. They do mean something more like the source. And if you think about it well, if you think about what a well is in this story, well, a well, it is a dark hole in the ground, but at the bottom of the well, there's water. And water is a source of life, you know. So, looking into the well, I mean, who knows? But the idea might be here that to complete the picture, Saoshan has to say, wants to say, feels impelled to say, his practice teaches him to say, the source, looking back at you, Elder Day, the source looking back at you, so you know, you could think of this the donkey and the well or the source as another kind of dialogue, and you could think of this as also, this is obviously a metaphor, and then there's metaphors piled on metaphors because there's the suggestion at the beginning of the case, like the Dharmakaya Buddha manifests in response to beings like the moon reflected in water. My teacher likes to call the dialogue between the source and beings, the dialogue between Dharmakaya Buddha and me and you, he likes to call this Holy Communion. He uses that word.
Is this Reb or Mio?
Reb. Reb likes to talk about Holy Communion. In the case, the commentator asks, you have the case, and then you have various people writing poems about the case and commenting on the case and kind of round things out. And so the commentator says, tell me, with what meditation can one get to be like this? He then answers his rhetorical question, just this, with no grip, nothing can be done about. About what? He doesn't say. He says, just this, with no grip, nothing can be done about.
Grip or
grip? Grip. I'll say it again. Third time's a charm. Just this, with no grip, nothing can be done about. That's in response to, tell me, what kind of meditation? Oh, no. What meditation can one get to be like this? I don't even know if I wrote that down right. But in any case, my thought was stimulated by this idea of a grip. That if you're sitting on the edge of a well and looking in, you might be in danger of falling into the well. And, in Zen we say, practice, we actually say, sometimes in the cases it says, this practice is dangerous. You might lose your life. You might lose your life. you know what they mean. You might be in danger of falling into this well. You might be in danger of, you know, holy communion, of communing with the source. And if you do, are you really ready for that? Are you really up for that? Is that really what you want? You might end up like this. You know, with all this cloth. That's actually what you mean. You know, and yeah, so I said, I concluded my talk as follows. But the important thing is just to be willing to be a stubborn donkey, repeatedly going to the edge of the well to have a look. Not having any schemes to see something special, to have some special experience. If the well looks back at you, that's the well's business. That's the work of Dharmakaya Buddha. So, you know, that's all we can do is bring ourselves to these cushions and just sit. And that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. And it's wonderful that there are I think there were 20 people signed up, but I think it's clear that a couple of them haven't shown up. So maybe 18 people showed up. It's wonderful that 18 people showed up to just come and sit and be quiet and continually let go of their schemes and their plans and their ideas about what the practice is. And maybe most of all, be really kind to themselves. And so that's what I would say, you know, that without, you know, we have all this teaching, but the background of all this teaching is always has to be remembered to be very, very gentle and kind with yourself as you undertake this awesome well rim sitting practice, looking into the source, looking into the void, looking into where your senses can't go. There's 5 minutes. There's a question. Well, to have, the comment was, we go to the well because we're thirsty. And, there's 18 people here coming to the well, and that's wonderful. And to have that kind of thirst is admirable, and it's treasured, by all the Buddhas. To have that particular thirst to know the source, to have some communion with the source. It's to raise that aspiration is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
What, is that a book of equanimity?
This koan is from the Book of Serenity or Book of Equanimity, case number 52. Don't read it during Sesshin. Read it later.
I was just thinking about no self. There's nothing to observe in the well.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no self. So what do you... What's there to look at?
Right. That's the question, yeah. There's the teaching. What's there to look at? What's there to look at? Karen and then Oscar.
Yeah, I like the analogy, too, of the donkey and the well. The donkey isn't particularly smart, but ever hopeful maybe, or something like that. But also I like that the water is deep, and that water also has many different sources. I mean, water is flowing under, coming into that well space. So it's kind of the interconnectedness, I guess, and all-inclusive.
You can't see the water and you can't see the sources, but there's the miracle of water when you dig a well.
I do wonder about the 80% part.
Oh, don't get hung up on the 80% part, yeah.
It's not 60%? No, it's not,
you know,
90%?
It's 50-50. But in terms of our practice, I think we can say, just from our own experience, that, many days we sit down and we don't feel the Holy Communion, we don't feel like we reach it, so, and that's okay, every day is a good day, but every day is maybe not a day that we, that the well, the well is always looking back at us, but we may not be in touch with that. And I think the 80% thing is more about that, and forgetting the percentages, but it's just more about the effort that's necessary in practice and the diligence and the repeatedly coming to the well, having a daily meditation practice, repeatedly coming to the well. That's more about what the 80% is about, regardless of what happens there.
But then I was also thinking, 100% would be too one-sided, and it would be too aggressive or something, rather than, letting it come.
In his commentary on this case, he says it's 80% and it's 80%, and they add up to 100%. I think Oscar was next, and then.
So I was seeing a well as a different possibility with a well. If you go to a well, if a donkey, an ignorant donkey, goes to a well often enough, it might be that the light is shining in such a way that he can actually see something. He can see a reflection. Or maybe he can see the moon, the reflection of the moon, like that frog in the haiku poem about that's eating the moon at the bottom of the well. And sometimes in Zazen, it does seem to me like that backward step is, it can be expansive, but it can also be like trying to look down a well, trying to get down to the source and narrowing the field of perception to try to do that. And although in one sense there is no self, And another sense, like I guess it was Dongshan, seeing there is the appearance of the self as if on the surface of a stream, let's say. So that's just another way of thinking about a donkey.
Well, I like that it's a well, because if you look in, often it's dark. You can't see. Whereas if you're looking at a lake or an ocean during the day, there's more light reflecting. And I guess I've learned over time that even if I'm sitting in a sesshin or my daily practice and it seems like nothing's happening, like maybe a week later, something arises that has the quality of a kind of fruit. So I guess I've learned to sort of trust that. So being in the dark has a, I don't know what the word is.
Faith.
Well, faith, but it's of a good quality. It's a treasure, that darkness.
Yeah, well, you know, in that chant we did yesterday at noon, Dogen makes all sorts of ecstatic claims for what happens in Zazen, and then he says, but all this cannot be got a hold of in perception, you know. So I think that goes to your point, you know, that we don't necessarily see the workings of this holy communion. We don't see how it's working, and faith is a good word for our understanding that that our practice does elicit a response. You know, it does elicit a response from awareness that, you know, we didn't know we had, you know, something new comes. Where did the thing that the insight come from? Where did the new thinking and new way of relating to ourselves with kindness? And, you know, people can go along for many years in their life, such as myself, relating to myself with a rather harsh and judgmental attitude and finding myself deficient in many, many ways. And you know, that kind of sort of, you know, being cut off from the source, kind of what that was like. That's like being cut off from the source of these teachings anyway, which are teachings of compassion and kindness and you know, positive self-regard in the best sense of that word and or that phrase. You know, so coming to some new understanding, it actually came suddenly. A new understanding came to me suddenly about how to respond to myself and how to understand myself and how to be with myself and how to and I'm going to continue working on that. That's my life's work now, is to continue, because, you know, even though some new understanding came, the old patterns didn't just vanish. You know, they didn't just go away forever. They're still there, you know. They're you know, I always loved the phrase from, I think it was Dongshan, went to his teacher and he said, you know, I have some habits that haven't yet been eradicated. Well, Is there someone here who can say that's not true for them? I don't know. If you are, you should come up here and take the seat right now, and I'll sit over there. Yeah. So, you know, we all have some habits that have not yet been eradicated, and that's our situation. And yeah, let's keep working with that, with kindness, self-compassion, equanimity, giving, ethical conduct, patience. This is the work of a whole lifetime. But what, you know, if you have a teaching, you know, that says that the basic condition is, you know, birth, illness, suffering, death, which we do, you better have some other teaching that says there's some work you can do in this situation. In this situation, here's some work you can do. And we call it the work of a whole lifetime to meet the setup. You know, the setup that we find ourselves in. And you know, there was a I don't know where it went, but for a long time there was a refrigerator magnet on our refrigerator, and it said, you know, be bold and do something else. I said, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And I really think that's, I think that's really true. Be bold, practice, and mighty forces will come to your aid. You won't be doing this alone. You know, you won't be on your own. You won't be alone meeting this whole situation, this whole setup that we're in. And for my money, there's no better life than being someone who's willing to meet this whole situation.